Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the DSSA call on the 10th of May 2012. On the call today, we have Mike O'Connor, Warren Kumari, Jacques Latour, Cheryl Langdon-Hall, Andre Thompson, George Sarasaki, Jacques Latour, said already, I do apologize, Takayasu Matsuo, Julie Hammer, Katrina Sataki, Jörg Schweiger, Rick Keller, Scott Aldair, Jim de Gazelle, Greg Aaron, and Jim Galvin. From staff, we have Bart Boschenko, Julie Headland, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. We have apologies from Olivier Crétin-Leblon, Mark Costas, Michel Gobordon, Dan Blumenthal, and Rafik Demak. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks, Natalie. As always, making everything work perfectly. Welcome all to the call. We'll take just a minute and run through the agenda, and while I'm doing that, if you have a change to your statement of interest, you can raise your hand and we'll get that taken care of. We're really going to do two chunks of brainstorming today. We're getting down to the point where we've got at least a first cut at a lot of this material, and we've got a couple of portions of the report where we may be saying most of this stuff we'll have to wait till next phase, but we've been at this a year, and we may have some thoughts that we want to stick into this report, both about immediate recommendations and also sort of taking a look at how we structure the next phase. The ops team started this. We've got an idea that we kind of want to try out on you, get some reaction to that, and then we're going to spend most of our call on Monday, next Monday, working on this again. So those are the two big focus areas. I think we'll take sort of half the call on each. So if somebody could keep an eye on the clock, and when we get to the 30-minute mark, if I'm just waltzing on ahead without a break, somebody nudge me and remind me that I want to switch over at the halfway mark. I've started a little mind map, which you can see on the screen. Up on top, those legs, those four legs, are basically the four legs of our charter. What are the immediate actual threats to the DNS? What are the current activities that are underway? What are the gaps in those? And what are possible additional mitigation activities? And for the last three, I think it's perfectly reasonable for us to say, well, hard answers to those three really have to wait until we're done with the next phase. But at the same time, we've been looking at this pretty hard for a pretty long time, and there may be some blindingly obvious things that we already know that we want to let people know about when they read this report. And that's really the purpose of this part of the conversation. Let me show you a picture that last time I mentioned that we needed to sort of draw a picture of something in the report, and I've gone ahead and drawn a draft of that. This is that circle diagram that I talked about that said, you know, there's stuff that goes on in the core, and there's stuff that goes on at the edge, and there's connections in between the core and the edge. And we are but a part of the sorts of things that go on in that. And so I drew this picture based on the words that we went through in the last, in last week's call. And then I exploded that picture based on a conversation that we had on Monday with the ops group, in which I put a little more context around this triangle. This is the go fast versus go deep picture. And where this started, just to remind people, is this picture. This is essentially a reworked version of the picture that we've been using out of the methodology. And what we did is we took the five broad topics that we've come up with so far, and we sort of arrayed them. This is the putting them on the diagram is really my first try at this. This hasn't been reviewed by the ops team yet. But the thought here is that as you get closer to the edge, which in this part of the triangle is at the bottom, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where frontline providers are meeting threats. And as you get closer and closer to the edge, they're meeting those threats on a shorter and shorter time frame. So, you know, the most extreme of that would be, somebody misconfigures something and somehow it brings down the root. That would be an immediate sort of problem that needs to get fixed right away. And this giant, ponderous process that we go through probably isn't going to do them any good. They're going to have to react much faster than that, than something like what we're doing can handle. And at the other extreme is the policy management leadership sort of stuff, the very top, which is a very slow-moving, long-term, strategic kind of risk to the DNS. And so that's something to ponder. Then what we have started to think about in the ops group is that what we could do is let's do one of these first in the next phase and refine the tools that we've got. And then once we've got a refined set of tools that we could use more broadly, recruit a much broader community to help do the last four. So I just wanted to kind of splash that in front of you before we go back to this conversation about where we're at in the, especially these three topics. And at this point, I'd just like to throw it open to brainstorming about any of these things that we might want to talk about in the report a bit. This would have to be pretty brief, you know, more introducing topics than anything else. But if there's something that we can draw from the work we've done so far with reasonable underpinnings, it would be a shame not to take advantage of that opportunity. So there you go. There's an introduction. Now I'm going to be quiet. Oh, and Natalie has asked that those of you who are in as a guest in the Adobe room, if you could identify who you are. If you're just listening in, you could type your name in the chat. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go kill my email program so that it doesn't annoy me throughout the rest of the call. Going once, going twice on guest. If you don't identify yourself, we'll probably knock you off the Adobe room. It's not fair to the others to have an anonymous person. Oh, Scott's typing. Well, Scott's typing about something else. Last chance for guest. Okay, I think we're going to... if we can. Natalie, do you know how to knock somebody out of the Adobe room?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm just going to have a look now, Mikey.
Okay, well, if you can make a project out of that, that would be great. Yeah, I'm with you, Warren. If I were that person, that would surprise me, and then I suppose that we could start a private chat with that
right
person.
I've started that.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. So while we're sorting out who the guest is, none of this is terribly secret. I just don't think it's fair to the rest of us to have an anonymous person on the call. Any thoughts about any of those three topics? You know, current activity. We could just start with one if you want. You take a look at these threats, and then one of the sources of ideas that I've got for this is the SSR framework that Patrick and others develop, and. You know, there are all sorts of related organizations ranging from OARC and Scott's Gang and so on that I think we can acknowledge, and I thought at least a reference to the SSR framework would be a good thing to put in this area because there is a lot of stuff going on. It's not as though we're just drifting along with no activity, and so I'll start with that. But if there's something especially on people's minds that people want to I just type a few in that come to mind for me. You know, these are the sorts of things that I think we should acknowledge.
Mikey, Cheryl here.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
I was just thinking that would be the spot that we would also put in current activities from the CCTLD community as well.
Can you
I would suggest we ask them to fill in the dotted lines. But clearly, you know, current activities to mitigate risk occur in the parts of the route that they're all in charge of as well. So,
I see what you're saying. Right. Some of you CCTLD folks...
Uncle Bart!
Yeah. Any sources of lists that we could mine for that? I was sort of looking for Jurg, but I guess he's not on the call today. So, Bart, you're stuck in the spotlight on this. Is there a document that we could at least point to that we could acknowledge in this part of the report? Art's remarkably quiet. We'll put that on a to-do list item. Probably the same, you know, a lot of this shows up in the SSRT. And it would be probably good to summarize that. I think that the thing that I'm really interested in is maybe the next one. Are there, you know, this is actually a chance for people to throw out ideas that have been on their mind perhaps for quite some time about things that are missing in what we're doing right now. If we, for example, I think that if we were to take a look at this one, quite a number of the recommendations in the SSRT report fit in here, and I was planning to stick some of them in. Let me just see if I can quickly get to that. I started sticking some of this in. Yeah, see? You look at this is a list of some of the recommendations from the SSRT report. By the way, there's a webinar, I think, today about that, which if you haven't heard about it, let me know off-list, and I'll send you the info. There's one going on right around now, and then there's a later one that I'm going to attend in my afternoon, evening in Europe, early morning in Asia.
Mikey, I thought those meetings... This is Jim Galvin, sorry. I thought those meetings were tomorrow. They're not today.
Oh, are they? I thought they were today. Let me just check.
Well, if they were today, then I missed mine because I thought they were
right.
Friday the 11th.
Yeah, you're right. There it is. Correct, correct, correct. Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
All the easier for people to get invited still. So anyway, that's one of the thoughts that I had was that some of the SSRT recommendations we could at least acknowledge in this section. And so there, you know, it's the purpose of this part of the call is to give me other ideas of places to mine for ideas that essentially relate to the five broad areas that we've identified, you know, already. I think it's hard to go into a great deal of depth here, but I think it's perfectly legitimate for us to acknowledge some of the stuff that's going on elsewhere. And as I say, if there are things that are on our minds that come out of this, this would be a good time. I'm not being overwhelmed, and I don't want to drag you through something that's uncomfortable. So I won't belabor this. And maybe what I'll do is go to what I've already put in my notes and see what you think of those. Let me make this a little bigger. It's easier to read. Some of the, so here is where I've already started acknowledging the SSR framework that Patrick and crew produce. One of the themes that's been coming out recently is this notion, this next note, which is that our charter says that we're supposed to come up with essentially a unified view of all the threats to the DNS. And then in this next chunk, a unified view of all, presumably, all the efforts and activities to mitigate those threats. And one of the things that I am tempted to point out in the report, and I kind of want to try this idea out on you, is this idea that a unified view may be impossible. That if I'm a frontline operator of a TLD, I may be doing a bunch of things that are essentially either invisible to the rest of us or not relevant. And I'm wondering if I'm on the right track with that or not. You know, this is essentially another scope kind of problem where, you know, in our go deep phase, do we really want to go out and ask everybody about everything that they're doing to mitigate all threats to the DNS? And if so, any of us over the age of 60 might want to drop off this study group because it may take the rest of our lives to get that list done, at which point it would be pretty obsolete. So I'm thinking that we might want to at least hint at the notion that scope explosion's a problem with this unified view that we've been chartered with. I mean, basically, what we've been doing for a year is fighting various and sundry scope problems with this charter. And I think that this is another. Thanks. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thanks. I wondered whether you follow a point where the fifth point in your column there that says coming up with the several perspectives doesn't, to some extent, address how we can approach the identified problem of a unified view. And the other thing is, could we suggest that, in fact, what we need to do to meet the spirit and intention of the original charter is perhaps to have a coordinated and accessible view as opposed to the term unified and what can be drawn out of that, because there's a certain amount of harmonisation that is indicated out of unified, which as one of the original co-chartering, you know, headspace people, wasn't kind of the actual intent. It was far more to actually have the accessibility to the risk data than it is to real risk data instead of these assumptions. The ability to have a hypothesis and test it was what was missing. And I think to some extent you may have actually addressed the identified problem with a unified view in the following point. That's it from me for now.
That's really helpful, Cheryl, because the unified view scares me, and it's nice to have a way out of that puzzler. It also hints at this notion of an ongoing thing that's got a... I go back to this. It's sort of got a core and an edge, where at the core, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that could be made accessible in terms of tools, in terms of techniques at the core, without having to perhaps document every single thing that happens at the edge. Because the surface area at the edge, I think, is awfully big, and I think that's one of the tensions that we've been fighting all along. So that's good. Let me show you the next chunk of stuff that I've already started to write. This is very notesy, and this is pretty close to the same draft that you looked at last week. So I haven't distributed it again because it hasn't evolved enough to drag you all the way through it again. But, you know, again, you can see the SSRT report starting to show up. And, again, this perspectives thing is an emerging theme. And, again, the unified. So let's just highlight Cheryl's words there. Forget. Wait, no, why you did that? There we go. This is sort of the same theme. And again, we've got that same notion, this several perspectives. And I think we may want to introduce rather than come up with, because no way we're going to do that between now and Prague. But that does take some of the pressure off us old people who don't have another decade to live, that want to see the end of this project before we croak. This is where the last section of this little brainstorming thing is where I stuck in a bunch of the recommendations from the SSRT report. And I thought we would just acknowledge those and perhaps give it a thumbs up in general. Because a lot of the struggle that we've got has to do with how undefined this stuff is. And it would, I think, be really helpful for some definition of a lot of these things. And I think we've done a fair amount of that definition ourselves because we had to. But I don't think it's our remit to answer these questions. We're simply part of the struggle. And so that was sort of where I was headed with that part of the report. Recommendation 23. Interesting word glitch. I don't know what that's all about. I'm not being overwhelmed, and I don't want to drag you through to this anymore. Is there anything else that people want to talk about? One last chance on this trio of topics. I'm going to go ahead and draft some stuff, and you'll have a chance to edit that draft. But I was just wanting to get a sense as to whether I'd missed anything big in the direction I was heading. So this is your last chance on that one. Okay, let's do the next phase. And let me go back to that picture that we in the ops group have started to draw. What's coming into my mind, at least, is the idea that what we should perhaps try to focus on is to develop a tool or two that lots of people could then participate in using to generate some of these results. I hesitate to say it in the context of Cheryl, but you know, it may be that it's some sort of polling or survey gizmo based on that that worksheet that we built. Or it may just be a refined version of that worksheet. And so the thought that we've been playing around with in the ops team is that we really ought to do one ourselves, the DSSA only. Dig in, make sure the tool works, make sure we understand how to do the analysis based on that. And then once we've got the first turn of the crank done, at a minimum, break into subgroups across the four remaining, you know, these four, the lat, see if I can figure out a way to highlight those. Doesn't really do it, but there you go. And essentially run out to a broader community of interest with the now newly refined tool, essentially as a beta test of tools that then the goal would be partly to finish our report, but would also partly be to deliver a tool set to the community that they could use to do their own risk assessments in their own context. And I, if that seems like a reasonable approach to you, the ops group is right in the middle of this conversation, but I wanted to take a minute and just get your ideas on this as well. And so these are just the standard project management topics. When you all who've lived through this for a year so far look into the future, are there some things that we should do well? Are there some things that we should avoid? Are there some things that we should do differently? At least from my perspective, I'm very concerned right now about burning ourselves out. We've been at this quite a while, and I'm really worried that we're steadily dwindling in number, at least for me, there's the sense of sort of this finish line at Prague, and then I'm planning to sort of throw down my tools and say I'm not going to carry quite so much of the load going forward because I'm getting pretty burned out on this myself.
Mike and Cheryl here.
Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
To some extent, that what you've just said about the burnout, etc., leads into the question I wanted to raise, and that was with the do it ourselves, do one ourselves issue. I was wondering about the timing on that, and I'm certainly supportive of in breaking up into the work group, into some subsections, and dealing with the real data acquisition stuff that follows on those other four areas. The timing on that would be post-Prague, which in itself would make a difference to how the resources are currently being exhausted or otherwise. But I would note that, you've got 17 people on this call, and I wouldn't call that a dwindle. You've actually been incredibly stable on, I think, very good numbers for a work group of this nature. It is dynamic. I'm not, as a manager of volunteers for many years, I am less concerned about burnout generally than you are, but I am keen to redistribute tasks in the next phase. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it sure does. I think that one of the things that everybody's quite conscious of, certainly in the ops group, but I think the rest of you too, is that this is too much gated through Mikey at this point, and that has to stop. Because I'm becoming the bottleneck right now. And so we have to figure out a way that this can be done that doesn't have me as the bottleneck in it going forward. And I'm really interested in ideas on how to do that. I didn't really see this coming until a couple of months ago and then said, well, okay, I'm going to carry it through Prague as the bottleneck because it's hard at this stage to unwind that, but I really, really, really don't want to pull quite so much of the weight going forward.
Okay, Cheryl, again, for the record, first of all, Warren is nudging you at the 30-minute mark. But secondly, I think the pre- and post-Prague activity plan sort of meets that need. Mikey, part of why you're good at what you do, of course, is because you're good at what you do. And if we disagreed with you, you'd hear about it. In many cases, I think you're far less of a bottleneck than you think you are.
Well,
you're one hell of a foundation builder, but as we move to the next phase, that by necessity, the design changes resourcing.
Yeah, and I think,
for example, to go deep on or to do a run through on the tool would actually take not a bunch of 1-hour calls, but I would suggest probably a serious block of face-to-face time where you sort of, you know, sit down and do the hypothetical as such. And that would be, you know, now there's no Fridays committed to board meetings, we might need to rejig a, you know, face-to-face forum at some opportunity with, obviously, remote participation. Anyway, I'm going to stop there because I think there's ways of skinning that cat, but I think now's the time. We've got the cat to skin at this point.
Yeah, I think it's really important to... redistribute tasks, but also restructure the work. Now, let's brainstorm about what that could look like for a minute. What are some, and that would go up in here, I would think, really up here. What are some things that we could do that would make this more, and by the way, we have passed through the 30-minute mark, but we've also changed to the second half of the agenda, so I'm fine with that. Oh, my God, I just now looked at the chat. Hang on a minute. I have to catch up. Yeah. Oh, scope. Yeah, let's get scope in here. Just picked up Rick's comment. And then Cheryl's right on the beam. This is exactly what we were thinking about on the ops call, was that we would do one as an example, as a sample, to test this. So what we were... one of the things that came up in the ops call was that our charter is to make sure that those four charter questions get done. You know, it's at least the sense of the ops crew that we have to at least come up with a credible answer to the question, what are the current risks to the DNS? What are the current mitigation activities, et cetera?
So, Jacques here.
Go ahead, Jacques.
If I recall, all of this started about 2 years ago when Rod made the statement, right?
Right.
And if you look at the story for the charter, is there are threats that are happening over the Internet, and we've documented, on the DNS, we've documented a few of those, right?
Right.
The activities to mitigate these threats internally, individually, each organization, I think, has good mitigation techniques to handle the threats. And the third bullet is the gaps in the current security response to the DNS issue. So I think the big thing back then was ICANN wanted to create a global cert for handling DNS. And perhaps one of the, it's true, there is a need for that. If we have a multi-stakeholder denial of service attack or a major threat to the DNS today, there's no global method for all of us to join to do incident resolution. There's isolated fragments of systems or process in place like DNS OARC, which is based on a trusted model, but it's not a globally accessible system by all that operates the DNS. And my gut feeling is that the idea behind all of this is there are threats. We can mitigate them, but there's no global security management requirement, and we should create a DNS cert within ICANN or something like that. That's one way of looking at it.
I think that this is, I can see Greg type. Greg, you want to just jump in on the call? I have a feeling I know where you're headed. It's going to be hard to type that all out. Yeah. I think that we could draw a picture, and this is part of the reason I drew the picture this way, is that I think there are some things that can be shared in the middle. But I'm not sure that ICANN is the right organization to run it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
certainly not.
You're getting plenty of yay verily in the. And so I think that John, going back to what you were saying, I think that what we could say that would tiptoe around the words ICANN operated cert, which is a red flag, is instead to say that we could look into ways for the community to join together.
Jacques here again. Yeah, I'm against the ICANN DNS cert.
Yeah.
But I think the purpose of this charter might have been to justify that or somehow.
No, it wasn't.
Or identify the need for a central place for all DNS operators to be working together. I'm just thinking, because I don't think we need to go to look at all the threats in great depth. I don't think we need to go at great depth in mitigating all the threats. We've done some of that. It's how do we, the third bullet is, how do we respond to these issues individually and collectively?
Right. And so, I think that part of what you are saying is consistent with this section, the current activities. And I think the way to summarize that is that there are a lot. And for the most part, they're effective. Although we don't have much data to support that conclusion. But that there's this. And I guess the key to this phrase is not sure there's no global way. There may be
no global way in place.
There's
not in place.
It's almost.
I'll put it this way: if something really bad happens right now, there's no group. Or there's no way to get all the CCTLDs on the planet on the same phone call with the GTLD operator and everybody.
Right.
And that can be a recommendation and fix, but to have the playing field for that to happen, we need to have shared knowledge and agreement on data sets and the actual risks that we're dealing with. Sorry, this is Cheryl for the transcript record. Part of the problem was in the dreaded statements from the CEO was that in raw number terms, you can stand up and say there were X threats to the DNS happening daily, but there was no indication on what effect mitigation had in that number, and in fact what the resiliency and stability effects of any of those were. It's a little bit like having 1,000 flies biting you versus a tiger. And so the need was for real data sets and actual metrics and analysis to be done. It's a vastly different thing if we come out with an endpoint here that says we are in fact under current constant in inverted commas attack, but they're all being handled really well and we don't need to worry about them, versus there's a great bleeding hole over in the corner there and no one's actually driven a stake through it yet, but we think they could do, and that needs to be dealt with, and it's driving the stake through the great bleeding hole or causing the great bleeding hole in the first place, that we need to be able to set up the likelihood and responses for, and that's where the NIST stuff, I think, is such an excellent tool. But rest assured, Jacques, there was no way that the DSSA's charter was in any way to support the creation of a CERT. If anything, it would be to do the opposite. Thanks.
Yeah, I would agree with Cheryl. In terms of the history, Warren came in with an OARC point. How broad is the community that's in OARC, Warren? Is it broad enough to be actually representative, or could it be that that community isn't terribly interested, but that they don't include folks like Jacques?
Well, nobody, this is Jacques, nobody trusts me, right? So I'm part of OARC. Cyril is part of OARC.
Oh, okay. So you were in those discussions maybe too, huh?
Yes.
Oh, Warren's got no audio. That's too bad. I'm liking this conversation. We're back at the first part, but actually I'm pretty intrigued with where we're going here. So I think I'll throw the next phase discussion over the side of the boat, and we'll stay on this for the rest of the call, because in a way, one way we could write this report is to say, look, we have done a bunch of stuff on this first charter item, threats to the DNS. Look at what we've done. We've struggled with the scope of what's the DNS in and out. We've struggled with confidential information and how to handle it. We've struggled with methodology, and we've come up with some cool tools with NIST. And we've come up with five broad threat areas. Way to go, us. There are a lot of things going on. Look at this list, and you know we can go build that list out of all those sources. But what it really comes down to, it seems to me, in a way, is this dilemma, which is, I think that the notion that Jacques kicked us off with was that there's no global way to very quickly collaborate on an emerging threat. And I think a lot of people would say, yes, that's true. The problem is, where is that forum to be convened? And who's supposed to have responsibility for it? And that's where the conversation goes off the rails.
So, yeah, this is Warren. I mean, we've had multiple discussions over the years about, especially during the whole ICANN cert thing, there was much gnashing of teeth and, oh, my God, not ICANN doing this, et cetera. And DNS OARC seemed to be sort of the generally accepted by the community option to run this. There was also a lot of discussions about people like FIRST or, any of the other huge collection of random cert people or yet another group to be spun up to do this. But, there are a number of sort of secret mailing lists where stuff like this gets discussed, especially during the whole anonymous event or lack thereof. There were a number of those spun up and a bunch of discussion on, do we need some sort of thing like this? And what a lot of people kept coming back to is folk who actually care about this have methods and solutions in place. If you care about the stability of the DNS and what's going on currently and incident response type stuff, OARC seems to be the place where people discuss this. Yes, there could be a much larger organization spun up with, everybody able to participate, but who's actually going to spend the money, time, effort to build this? Who's going to provide all the infrastructure that's needed? Who's going to be the gatekeeper that lets the good guys in and keeps the bad guys out? Because unless it's sort of a non-adversarial threat thing, you don't really want the bad folk participating in your response. So this is going to have to be another sort of ops trust type community, I think, in my opinion. And there are secret ones like that already exist. Of course, nobody can speak their names, etc. But, there are sort of solutions here. And I think I'm standing on a soapbox and having a long rant, so I'll shut up now.
I like people who stand on soapboxes and rant because that takes some of the stand on soapbox and rant pressure off of me. So I like that. I think that where this conversation's starting to head is that place where we sort of step back from the trees and look at the forest for a minute. And I think that there's a kind of emerging parallel discussion. I resonate a lot with what Warren just said, that when you're looking for a place to deal with an immediate frontline threat, that, and maybe this picture is helpful, maybe it's not. Let me go back to this picture. Is it safe to say that down in this lower right corner, here's a threat. It's happening right now. We need to respond within minutes. That kind of coordination is pretty good today. Perhaps good enough, and perhaps making it more visible to the world is counterproductive rather than productive. While at the same time, if you go into the long-term view, Cheryl's point comes to the fore, which is on this side, which says that while there's reasonably good coverage of immediate threat mitigation, there's an opportunity to do things out in the public where it doesn't really matter whether bad guys participate or not, to develop tools and techniques and so on to help DNS providers do their immediate risk mitigation better. Is that a way to reconcile those two points?
Yeah, Jacques here.
Go ahead, Jacques.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I get the picture now.
Hang on. Rick speaking, and I think that's probably a better focus for phase two scope than digging down and trying to analyze the deep pool of risks that have been identified.
Well, that's part of the reason why we chose this one first, is because this one sits in two places that we can help more than we can. You know, this lower corner has a lot of disadvantages. It's very big. It's very secret. It should be secret. It seems to be reasonably well handled, et cetera, et cetera. But this one sits on the tools, model, support, direction end of the spectrum and seems like it's better suited to an organization like us to handle. So it sounds like this diagram's not too bad, and it also sounds like we've picked the right direction. At the same time, what we might want to do, is write some of the stuff that we will now memorialize as Warren's rant into the conclusions of this phase report, because in a way our charter was in response to Rob's rant back in, you know, so there's a rant that starts this project, and in a way there's a rant that ends it. There's the Beckstrom rant. Oh, it's a dangerous place and there are giant holes and so on and so forth. And I think Warren's rant, in a way, puts a period on that sentence. Says, no, you know, actually it's not as bad as you think. You just don't know about what's going on. And yet, at the same time, the whole community says, yeah, but we could always do better. And yeah, we would benefit a lot from shared tools, shared data sets, shared knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. Is that sort of a way to wrap up our conclusion in, yeah, I know we're right on the time boundary, but I just want to get a sense, is anybody just wildly upset by that sort of summary that says, if you know, because in a way, then what we could do is we could come back to the community and say, you know, we've struggled, and in a sense, we're done. We see lots of stuff to do, and we're willing to do it. But in terms of the thing that triggered the DSSA, which was the Beckstrom conversation to the CCNSO in Brussels, we actually have an answer. Because I think that, up until now, I hadn't thought that we could say that, but we might be able to say that. It's probably one to, now that it's 9 o'clock, my time, it's time to stop.
That one's sticking in my craw just a little bit, but anyway.
Yeah, well, I think that's one to pick up again on the next call for sure. And, you know, it's partly a burned out guy speaking and kind of looking for an escape hatch. But at the same time, I think we could hint at it in the report and act on that in our next phase by saying, you know, where we're going to devote our attention is on the left side of this diagram and focus on models, tools, support, etc. Yeah, and Jim is correct in the
chat,
I think. Yeah, yep, yep. That's absolutely true. Okay, I think we need to wrap up now, but I think this was very helpful, certainly for me and for the ops crew as we try to figure out where we're going. Natalie, can you chop off the recording and we'll call it a day? Thanks, everybody.